Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Awesome song. Thank you very much. Beautiful rendition of it. But it really sums up Unity philosophy, doesn't it, in an essence of it, really. And I feel the same way, because when I was going to church as a child, I felt like they sort of had it, and most of the time they didn't have it. You know, it was all irrelevant, and it was all holier than now, and it was very exclusive. And finding unity is just a breath of fresh air, because it's the idea that everything is holy. That I often kid around that I probably wouldn't go to church except I'm a minister. And what I mean by that is I want to go to a spiritual community, not necessarily a quote church with dogmas and all that stuff. But that's what I love about Unity is we're not exactly a church. You know, we are a spiritual community exploring what it means to be fully alive, to align ourselves with the truth of our being, yeah? And that's a powerful thing. And that's the work today that we're doing in the White Stone Ceremony, because the stone represents an alignment with the highest and best within us, right? It's an outer representation. It's a particular word that helps us focus on the fact that I am connected to the all. I am one with the one. I am connected to that spiritual essence. Title of our message today is God or Spirit is in charge. And Spirit truly is in charge, yes? Though sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that we are. Now, we're taught in Unity to empower ourselves, to claim our good, right? But that is what that means is I am claiming the truth of my being is Spirit, and I'm coming into an alignment with Spirit and letting it flow. It doesn't mean I'm aggrandizing my ego, right? That's the thing we're talking about here. It's letting go of our humanness so that our true spirituality can shine through our humanness. So I'm going to read a passage from Revelation. Now, don't be scared. I know as soon as we mention the word Revelation, people freak out. I didn't do this caveat at the 9:30, and I think I frightened a lot of people, because I should have said it's okay. It's not scary. Because as soon as we talk about Revelation and we use the word Satan and judgment and all this, we tend to think it's a judging God. But really, it's just the Spirit within us redressing the balance, right? If we move too far in this direction, what tends to happen? You swing back over here before you come to center, right? And it doesn't feel good sometimes. But that's all it is. It's a recorrecting of the balance. It's not a judgment on us. It's not God condemning us. So I just want to get that out of the way before we read it, okay? Because there are some words that we might not like in this passage. Oh, I know, like Satan and things like that. Yeah, and fornication and things like that. And idols and all that. So, the risen Christ speaks to seven churches. He speaks to the angel of the churches. And I love that, because the church, if you like, is a body of people, just as we have a body. But the angel is the living essence within that body, right? So when the Christ speaks, it speaks to the living essence in us. And I love that. If we're open and receptive, then the living essence in us vibrates and aligns with the highest and best, right? So God doesn't just speak to our body. God speaks to our highest aspirations, and that's the angel of the churches. So this particular church where we have the white stone image is Pergamum. And let me read it all the way through, and then we'll unpack it. Write this to the angel of the church in Pergamum. These are the words of the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you are living right where Satan's throne is. You are holding on to my name. And you didn't break faith with me even at the time when Antipas, my faithful witness, was killed among you where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you, because you have some there who follow Balaam's teaching. Balaam had taught Balak to trip up the Israelites so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. In the same way, you have some who follow the Nicolaitans' teaching. So, change your hearts and lives. If you don't, I'm coming to you soon. and I will make war on them with the sword that comes from my mouth. If you can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I will give those who emerge victorious some of the hidden manna to eat. I will also give to each of them a white stone with a new name written on it, which no one knows except the one who receives it. There's a whole lot in there, isn't there? So first of all, Pergamum. Well, Pergamum was one of the cities in Asia Minor, and it was a city dedicated by the Romans to emperor worship, right? And it was also where there was a huge temple to Zeus, the pagan god, the chief pagan god. So therefore, it's a city symbolically given over to the powers of this world, right? The powers that be. And so the what we might call the lower impulses, right? It's the pagan attitudes, the eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come, right? You diet, I think it is. So it's given over. Now, I want us to understand that this is really a description not of ancient times, this is a description of where we are right now, yeah? Because we live in a world that gives a lot of power and authority to whoever is the emperor, right? To whoever we feel has the right things to say from our point of view. Like, how many Twitter followers have we got, you know? Some people have got millions and millions of Twitter followers because we kind of turn off our own brain and begin following others, yeah? So that's that kind of worship, if you like. So these are the words of the one. There is only, in truth, one, right? One. God is one. We are one with the one. This is the absolute truth. So the truth of our being is speaking to us. These are the words of the one who has a sharp two-edged sword. Now, why is he carrying the sharp two-edged sword? What's that about? God, the one, has a sharp two-edged sword. What's the sword doing? All right, sword can be justice. Cutting through nonsense. It cuts both ways, so you can't escape it, right? Have you ever noticed this about truth? You think you might want to, you know, finesse it so I don't have to deal with it, but it comes at you another way then, you know? You can run, but you can't hide. That's the nature of truth. The truth will out. You can't run from it forever, right? It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It's going to get you. But not in a bad way, it cuts out the dross. Yeah, that's what it's about. We don't have to fear the sword. The sword is truth. And the sword wants to know the reality of you, not the nonsense of you, basically. So we give thanks that it has a two-edged sword because it comes with power. It comes with authority and ability. It can sort out the nonsense in me from the truth in me, yes? Just say yes. Thank you. Because it's scary stuff. All right, I've lost my place now. It's so exciting. I know that some of you are living right where Satan's throne is. Of course we are. We're in the world, right? In the world of all with all its craziness. But it says, even though you're living in where Satan's throne is, and Satan is just adverse ego, power, craziness of all kinds, right? You are holding on to my name, and you didn't break faith with me, even at the time when Antipas, my faithful witness, was killed among you where Satan lives. Even when there's crazy nonsense and murder and mayhem going on in our society right now, right? We are staying faithful to the one, yes? Are we? That's the call, isn't it, to stay faithful. However, I have a few things against you. Oh, darn it. Come on now, I thought I'd been doing good. Because you have some there who follow Balaam's teaching. Well, this is all about the Old Testament, where he led the Israelites astray, and they started to mix up their religion with other religions in Canaan and all that. We don't have to go into all those details, but it basically says, eat food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. Listen, after Christmas, we got away to Charleston for a week, okay? South Carolina. Oh, my God, the food. The food there is so good. But it's bad at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying? It's all rich. It's very, very rich. So, you know, I ate food sacrificed to idols. Mmm. It's foodie heaven there, man. But the danger is there's a result, isn't there? I actually had my blood work done for my doctor's appointment right after this, which is really... What was I thinking? Now I got to explain to my doctor, listen, I'm not really like this. Yeah, that's right. But see, there's a balance to be paid. If you're going to have fun like that, too many shrimp and grits, there's payback. That's right, the devil made it. Yeah, Satan did it. But, you know, the food and sexual immorality is just a cover-all to say those things where you give power to your appetites, your pleasures, your lower impulses. Like, we can be on the spiritual path for 30 years sometimes, and we still end up worshiping our ego, yeah? We're still bitching at other people. We're still in fear, etc., etc. So it's those parts of us that don't remember the truth. So, change your hearts and lives. That's the message. Come into a recognition of what's truly important, right? If you don't, I'm coming to you soon, and I will make war on them with the sword that comes from my mouth, because there is a consequence to everything. This is not God judging us. This is us receiving the reward of our behavior, yeah? If I eat too many shrimp, my cholesterol goes up, period. You know, what goes around comes around. It's the law. And like we said, if we go in this direction, then before we can come to center, there's that awful feeling of terrible guilt. I call it shrimp guilt. So change your hearts and lives. If you don't, I'm coming to you. But if you can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, obviously, we can hear. So what does it mean? It's obviously got a symbolic meaning. If you can hear, it means... are you really paying attention, or do you still want to live your life the same old way? Because if you still want to live your life the same old way, you are limited to the results of that way, right? But if you can listen to a higher calling and choose to do a new thing, then you will get the rewards of that newer way also. That's the message here. No judgment. It's just, I loved it when they used to say, you know, you're not punished for your sins. You are punished by your sins. Right? It's not like God is judging you. It's just you are judging you. Hey, if you're living in that misery, then expect more, basically. So if you can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And here's the good bit. I will give those who emerge victorious some of the hidden manna to eat. Let's take it apart. What does it mean to be victorious in this context? All right, to prevail. To overcome? How, though? Those are lovely, but I... What? That's huge. How do I do that? How do I prove victorious? What do I do to shift? All right, so I remember God, right? That's how I remain victorious. The bird in that song. He saw the bird, and it reminded him that everything was beautiful, right? Everything was holy. If you or I saw the bird, we may not have seen any significance in it, but his heart was receptive. He was listening. He was open to it, and therefore became a holy instant, a holy moment of transformative power for him. That's proving victorious, right? If I'm willing to be with someone and truly be with them and share something and listen to them, then I become victorious. When I do a generous act, somebody said when I act without bragging, do something without bragging. I thought that was a great answer at 9:30, right? Because who brags? Ego, right? Oh yeah, put your hand up, that's fine. We all brag, it's okay, no judgment. We all have a bragging side of us, you know? But the bragging side of us is diminishing us, not lifting us up, because the Spirit in us is whole and free. I don't need to brag, yeah? Only when I'm feeling less than do I feel I need to go into that place. So, anything else to prove victorious?
I thought of something this time.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're attentive. Yeah.
You gotta have the ears to hear the gears grinding.
In other words, there's more going on than meets the eye, right? There's the things that are happening behind the scenes in our consciousness that we can pay attention to. And so often we're mesmerized by what's out there. We're fooled by what's out there. We're spending too much time on our smartphones or whatever it is, distracted by all the appearance of things. Too many times worshiping somebody on Twitter, for instance, and not spending time listening to the tuning up, understanding our own inner beauty and joy. We make idols, see? There's the idol thing. So, I will give those who emerge victorious, who remember for a moment the truth of our being, some of the hidden manna to eat. Of course, manna is what was given to the Israelites in the wilderness, remember? It was provision. So why is this manna hidden, folks? Why is it hidden manna? It's holy, so it's hidden? Okay. Have to be willing to receive it. It's buried under a lot of junk, okay. It's inside us. You know, I can look at the bird and get a spiritual experience. You can look at the bird, see nothing except the bird, right? It's hidden. It only reveals itself to one who is ready, and that's true of anything. A moment could be meaningful or non-meaningful, depending on what we bring to the party. That's why it's an open secret. It's hidden in open view, if you like, right? You don't see it until you see it. We've all had those moments. It's those moments where we go, aha, now I understand, right? It hasn't really been hidden, but it's kept from you because you're distracted by something else. So when you get it, then you get the provision. You get the beautiful supply of non-cholesterol food from heaven. No, not at all. I'm just using it as a teaching exercise. I'm making myself feel better as a result. I will also give to each of them a white stone with a new name written on it. Okay, white, meaning pure, as Malone said, a clean slate, yeah? A new beginning. It's empty, it's a tabula rasa, as they say, a blank slate on which you can write anything you'd like, which is our consciousness when we remember the purity of our essence, yeah? It also, yeah? Yeah, excellent, yes. We used that actually in a prayer earlier when we were getting ready for the service, the idea that the white light is refracted into a multitude of colors, just as we are. We are one with the one, but each of us has a unique flavor or light or color, right? And yet we're still part of the one. So there's that beauty of it. The white light contains all colors, all essences, all qualities of God. And each one of us is unique. We're a unique expression of that. In the Testament, it says that white can also represent joy, right? So it's the pure, open-minded, joyous aspect. That's the white stone. What's the stone represent? Stability, strength. Remember what Jesus named Simon? He said, you will now be called Simon Peter, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my church. So it represents faith in a way, right? So the rock represents stability and faith. So faithful joy, faithful purity, the pure faith of remembering who we are, right? And then we put on that a new name. Now, this is where our work begins, and in a moment we're going to do the ceremony and go into meditation about it. Did everybody get a stone, number one? Everybody's got a stone. If you didn't get one, ushers, can you bring some stones around? Let's just keep your hands up for a second. We want everybody to have a stone. And also a pencil so you can write your name. Everybody must get a stone, yeah. It's not even a rainy day out there, man. So the white stone, on this stone, we are writing one word, right? Now, if you joined us last, keep your hands up for a second. They're still coming around. Yeah, there's one over here. Pam, over here, please. Pam, over here. Thank you. Did everybody get one? There's some in the back there. Thank you so much. All right, if you worked with us last week in the burning bowl, right, we talked about the release follows by the affirmation. We worked on our sheet, affirmations are claiming our good. And from that, from percolating through those ideas, comes forth one word. If we weren't here last week, the idea is that there's one particular word that is ours to embody this year, right? And Cricket eloquently already shared her word from last year and this year. And it becomes a kind of a lodestone around which all the energies of God are focused. And it's symbolic, so we're keeping that stone somewhere important in our home so we could see it frequently. And we see the idea that is represented by that word being made manifest, right, for this particular period of time, 2016. If by chance you don't have a word come to you right now, then it will come within the next 48 hours, right, and write it down. We're using pencil. You can go over it with marker if you want, whatever you want to do later. But it's important that that word come to you in the next, like I say, several days. But if it comes today, that'll be wonderful. But that is the word of power for this particular year. And let's finish this scripture, though. I will give to each of them a white stone, which you have, with a new name written on it. That's yours to do, which no one knows except the one who receives it. Now, what does that mean? No one knows except the one that receives it. It is your word. It may be a common word, but it has particular significance for you, right? That's what makes it meaningful to you. It's like that bird has a specific significance for that person seeing that bird on that day. Even though it's a common bird, it becomes sanctified. It's like seeing butterflies and remembering a person who's passed on, right? The butterfly almost becomes a remembrance. It's like the butterfly came into being at that moment to represent that person. So it has that kind of significance. So let's go into our ceremony, into our meditation. And again, we can make this as meaningful or as unmeaningful as we choose, because that's the free will that God has given us. But for it to be most effective, we choose to see it as a significant action today. That this white stone represents for us, in an outer way, an inner connection to Spirit. This is how we turn the tables on what the Bible calls satanic thinking, which we would say is the thinking of the aggrieved and fearful ego. It turns the tables on giving power away to an outer event or circumstance or person and taking it back within ourselves. And knowing that we are aligned, that our gift is from God. To be victorious is to remember this, to receive that provision, that hidden manna, which is God's provision and sustenance. And it comes in all kinds of ways. It comes from a book we might read. It comes from the song of a bird. It comes from words of kindness or advice from someone else. Comes from a glimpse of rightness and wellness within our own being. Sometimes it comes as a zap of power. But it is ours to claim. And as we open our hearts and minds to intuitive wisdom, the very right word that is ours to write on that stone will appear. because all divine ideas contain all other divine ideas, just like the facets of the diamond that reflect all kinds of light. So that word will faithfully lead us into the heart of things. And it is our particular doorway this year. So hold that stone in your hand right now as we move into meditation and open ourselves to the significance of this action today. And as we said, keep that stone nearby, maybe put it in a place where you'll see it frequently so that it can be that remembrance of that divine connection consciously made today. It has great power. We move into a time of silence now, which is that holy place within and around us all where God dwells, out of which comes all activity, all sound, all energy, but is itself unaffected by those things, is still pure, silent, still. So in the stillness, we connect our heart and our mind, our body and our being with God.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.